Welcome to Open Line Friday on the Andy Griffin Show. Time to call in with your gripes, opinions, theories, and conspiracies. Here's your chance. Don't blow it. Only on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Good morning to you. It's 9:09. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Thank you for tuning in today, and we love to hear from you at 673-5890. Is our phone number, and if you want to text, some people don't like to talk on the air, but you can text me at 435-467-5842. I've had a few people ask about the impossible question of the day. I was out of town last week, didn't do it. It didn't do it this week either. We've had some few issues with the provider of some of the trivia that we had, and so we're going to work that. The question of the day will be back. Don't know exactly when, but it will be back, don't you fret about that. Thanks for, again, tuning in. I'm Andy, and Mello is here, too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Doing all right today?
Yes, great day. Friday, new grandbaby yesterday, too.
The baby came, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. What flavor?
Little boy. Pounds, 3 ounces.
Nice.
Super healthy.
Healthy and strong. And very cool. Yeah, I had twin grandbabies born a couple of weeks ago. So
congratulations.
But they were early, and so they're actually, one of them is still in the NICU. The larger of the two is home now. But so my poor son has four children under the age of three now.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
I know. I don't know how he's going to do it. But he and his wife will figure it out, and they'll make it work. He also works nights. He drives truck overnight from like 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. And so I don't know how he's going to get any sleep either.
Yeah, that's a challenge. But that'll be fun, though.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of things to talk about today. A couple of things on the 890kdxu.com to talk about. There's a story, and I wrote about it, but it's really not my story. Mary Richards from the Church LDS Church News wrote the story about a shirt. It's kind of fascinating. This missionary in Ghana was walking along the street of this town, Afenso or something like that is the name of the town, and he sees this kid with a shirt that says, he's from Caldwell, Idaho, his shirt says Caldwell All-Stars on it. He's like, what? It can't be. And he's got closer to the kid. He realized that was actually the shirt that his cousin had worn. It was but the style of shirt that his cousin had worn when he was on the Little League All-Stars. He got closer, and he said he wanted to talk to the kid. He said, hey, can I see your shirt? The kid said, yeah. And he said, well, he turned around, and the word call, the name call, was on the back, but it had been taken off, but you could still see the shadow of where the letters had been. It was the exact shirt that his cousin had worn a few years earlier in Caldwell, Idaho, and it was a kid on the streets of Afenso, Ghana, was wearing it.
Wow.
Kind of a cool deal.
That's crazy.
But anyway, go to 890kdxu.com to read that story. It's called Amazing Shirt Tale, a 7,000-mile coincidence, or was it a sign from God? Other stories, fight or flight, what to do if you meet one of these scary animals in Utah. We talk about if you run into, these actually happen, relatively common to see a rattlesnake, a bear, a mountain lion, and I can't remember the fourth animal. I'm going to have to click on the story so I can tell you the fourth animal. But let's see. Oh, a moose. Moose is actually the most dangerous animal in Utah, a moose. Moose have been known to kill people by ramming them and then stomping them. And if you consider some of the mooses are over 2,000 pounds, you can imagine, how dangerous that could be. And a story that is gaining actually traction all over the West is called this: deadliest creature on the planet is alive and hunting in southern Utah. I'm not going to reveal the answer to that one, but I can tell you that is not a, it's a little bit of a sensationalized headline, but it is not false at all. The deadliest creature on the planet kills over 700,000 people a year on Earth, and it's alive and well right here in southern Utah. So, but I'm not going to say anymore because I want you guys to go and click on the story and check it out. It's kind of fascinating. All right, I had a conversation earlier today, and the reason I'm leaving Mello's microphone up is I want to talk to her about this a little bit. Had a conversation earlier today with the one of the health department guys, David Heaton, about this cookie dough salmonella was in cookie dough sold by Papa Murphy's Pizza, and a lot of people got sick. I don't recall if anybody died or not. I don't think anybody died or not, but a lot of people got really sick from salmonella from eating raw cookie dough. Now, Papa Murphy's claims that their cookie dough is safe to eat. It doesn't have raw eggs in it. So they're still trying to figure out where the salmonella came from. It could have come from the flour. Actually, salmonella can grow in wheat flour. But it brought up an interesting question. And Dave had mentioned, he said, look, if you can, don't eat raw cookie dough. Now, Mello, you and I both know there are things that we know are bad for us that we still do.
Oh, yeah. I have, when my dad makes cookies and he makes them about once a month,
mm-hmm.
he actually will save me like 2 balls of the cookie dough because he knows that I love them so much.
And they have raw eggs in them.
There's raw eggs. And but I haven't died yet.
No. Well, and that's just it. You know, if we look at something like that, well, what are the odds of me actually getting sick from eating this? Pretty low. The odds of me dying way, way, way low. So we're going to do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that brings up some interesting thoughts about things that we're not supposed to do and things that are banned and things that are... I have a story. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell it because I don't want to use up a whole show about cookie dough. We bought some cookie dough in Hawaii and we got flagged because in Hawaii you're not allowed to bring fruit out. And my wife had put the cookie dough into balls and so they looked like little pieces of fruit. And they pulled us out of the line and had to search our bags and everything. It's like I said, it's a long story. It was actually pretty funny, but and it's a good thing we weren't in a huge hurry. But my wife loves cookie dough. She absolutely, she'll buy the big buckets of it. She doesn't as much anymore. You do that too?
Yeah, I do.
She doesn't do it as much anymore. And she buys the buckets not to make cookies, but to actually eat.
Me too. Yeah. I like your wife.
You guys have a lot in common. But she knows, I mean, there is a warning, even like right on the side of the cookie dough bucket, this product does not contain raw. The ones that you buy in a store don't contain raw eggs, but they said this product is uncooked and could potentially harm you. And yet we do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every day.
What's wrong with this? There are people out there that smoke cigarettes. Huge warning on the side of the card, and it says this will cause cancer. It will kill you. People do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Soda pop is high fructose corn syrup. It's one of the worst substances on the planet. And yet they put it in a lot, not just soda pop, but a lot of things that we eat as a replacement because it's cheaper than sugar.
And it's addicting.
And we consume it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We don't seem to care. There's a list put out on a website called cancelthiscompany.com. It's a fascinating website. There, you can actually, it's one of those rabbit hole websites. You can go in there and get lost for hours clicking on companies that are good companies and companies that are bad companies. And one of the bad companies been in the news lately is Target. I know, Mello, you go to Target occasionally.
That's a
store you frequent because locally, it's kind of one of the only places you can find what you need for what you do. But, you know, Target is, they received a lot of backlash for putting front and center a whole bunch of Pride stuff out there. What were your thoughts? What did you see when you went to Target?
When I walked in that first aisle, when you walk straight past like the little dollar store area that they have, just right there on your left, were like little kid mannequins with like Pride shirts and trans shirts.
Wait, little kid mannequins?
Little kid mannequins with that apparel on it.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's what I saw on like Instagram and stuff. They were saying, don't go to Target because of this. But I'm like, I just need one item. So I kind of just like went past it and got what I needed and left. But I kind of felt a little guilty because...
We all do that. In fact, this website I was talking about, cancelthiscompany.com, the top 4 companies that are the worst offenders for wokeism. Check this out, Mello. Amazon,
oh, no.
Google, Apple, and Facebook. Mm. Let's see. Amazon, yeah. I use that. Google, yeah. I use that. Apple, yeah. I use Facebook. Uh-oh. I use all 4 of those.
I know. How are you supposed to stop doing that?
I don't know. I can't. I can. And I am convinced there will be an alternative or a successor to Facebook down the road when we'll all switch over to it eventually. But for now, Facebook is entrenched in our worlds. I mean, You know, maybe not if you're 18 or 22, you're maybe into some of the other social media, but if you're over the age of 30, Facebook is an important part of your life for most people.
We still understand how to use that platform, yeah.
And so we don't, I don't know, we use Amazon. I'm looking at it, I'm like, what's wrong with Amazon? Well, according to this website, Amazon, enemy of free speech, huge Democratic donors. Yes, your purchases on Amazon help fund the Democratic Party. They're also into censorship, woke pro-indoctrination of children, Marxists. They're Seattle-based and one of the easiest companies to boycott. They said it's easy. I don't know how easy that is.
The only thing that's making it a little easier is they don't have two-day shipping anymore like they used to.
That was big, yeah. You get your Prime and you get something, you order it on Monday afternoon and it's there Friday morning or Wednesday morning, even Thursday. That used to be phenomenal.
Right.
I've noticed that, by the way, with Amazon, they have become kind of unreliable with their shipping. And when you buy something, they used to tell you it will be here such and such a day. Now it says something like it could be here around these two dates somewhere in there. So, yeah. But it's interesting. I would not ask you, Mello, to boycott Target because I would be hypocritical because I'm not going to boycott Amazon or Facebook. I don't think I can at this point. And is it because I'm weak? I don't know.
No, cookie dough is good. It's just that same analogy
I'm not going to boycott cookie dough, although it's not as much of an attraction to me as it is to some other members of my family. But because I like my cookies cooked, so with a glass of milk.
No,
now they're going to tell us we can't have milk, huh? It has something in it that we can't.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mello, for playing along here. If you want to call and you want to hear Mello's voice, call 673-5890. That is the studio line. She'll answer first and ask you your name and what it is you want to talk about. And it's kind of a cool thing. And if she's really good, we'll give her a raise. She'll go from making 0.00 an hour to 0.001 an hour. So, yeah, it's a start. It's 921 on KDXU. Again, that website, if you want to check it out, cancelthiscompany.com has a really, really great list of some of the worst offenders of wokeism and of, you know, all the things that democratic liberalism and restricting your free speech. There is also on that website, if you click on, something to do with good companies, bad companies, you can actually click on the list of good companies that you should support. That are kind of, you know, American companies that believe in free speech and believe in, you know, the American way. Here is, I'm just going to give you some of the big ones here of companies that are really good to support that believe in the American way. Ace Hardware is one of them. We have Ace right here. Sports and Warehouse is right here in town. Dillard's, Hobby Lobby, believe it or not. Let's see what else we've got. Roku. So if you're, and that's one of the things about the TV, that if you support the big media, ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, when you pay money to say YouTube TV or you subscribe to cable or DirecTV or Dish, those guys get money out of you subscribing. So, one of the suggestions, one of the ways to get out of that is to stop paying those subscriptions and go to something like Roku that doesn't give those guys a lot of money. Here are a couple of others. Duluth Trading Company. I don't think we have one here in town, but I know there's one up in northern Utah. Bassett Furniture Direct. In-N-Out Burger is very conservative values and very, very pro-American, the American way. Indian Motorcycles is another one. Ashley Home Store. Those are a few suggestions for you. In case you can't find, if you're looking and you're going, oh, I got nowhere to go. Well, you do have some places to go. And for a full list, go to cancelthiscompany.com. And like I said, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I have a hard time with some of these as well. But if we can at least make an effort, you know, if you have a choice between spending money, say, at Sportsman's Warehouse or Target, go to Sportsman's. It's that simple. You want a burger, go to In-N-Out instead of one of the other more woke burger joints. A couple of other things I wanted to mention today. And again, you're welcome to call at 673-5890 or text me at 435-467-5842. I actually do have a couple of texts I'll get to here in just a second. And thank you for texting. I thought this was cool. They asked over 1,000 people. This is a Rasmussen poll. over 1,000 people. Do you consider the media, the I guess they're calling it the legacy media, you know, the big boys, the CNN and ABC and CBS, as an enemy of the people? The overall results, 57% of people, no 50, I'm doing my math, 59% of the people consider the media to either to strongly agree they're the enemy of the people or somewhat agree that the media are the enemy of the people. And then you break it down by political party. The number is staggering. 77% of Republicans believe the media is the enemy of the people. Independents, that number is 56. And Democrats, even Democrats, 44% of Democrats believe the enemy of the people is the national media. I thought that was really fascinating. Some happenings this week in the area. Mayor Randall came out with a statement that basically said, I screwed up. I was wrong. I shouldn't have stopped the comment section. You are allowed to comment, although we are going to have some pretty stringent rules. That was kind of my whole point all along, was I don't think they should do away with the comment, even though it's optional. It's not, you know, it's not written in the Constitution that you have a comment period. But, you know, if there really are people who are abusing that or using foul language or come every month and say the exact same thing, my thought was, well, let's monitor that. Limit people how many times they can talk. And if they use vulgarities or if they are just completely out of line by, you know, some of the things they say, and I don't mean out of line like wrong. I mean out of line like using vulgarities and personally attacking the mayor or the council members, then just ban them from doing it. Kick them out of the room. I felt like that was a lot better policy than just saying, we're not doing it anymore. And Mayor Randall agrees, and she's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring the comment period back every fourth Thursday at City Council, but there are some stringent rules. I saw some backlash on Facebook about this. People say, oh, she's a tyrant, and they're so evil. And I think this is a great compromise. I think the backlash was such she realized, ooh, I screwed up. I'm going to fix this. We are going to have comments. We're just going to make sure the comments are on point. One of the rules, besides, you know, no vulgarities and things like that, one of the rules is your comment must have to do with something that we're talking about at City Council. I think that's big. I used to have a caller that called in this program all the time. No matter what the topic was, they wanted to talk about silver iodide or chemtrails or whatever. It's extremely non-productive for someone to come completely off topic and just kind of throw something weird out there. And so I think that is actually a pretty good rule that the mayor has put out there. We also talked about this week cash for grass. Now, some of the people were like, yeah, well, I'll just change my yard and then give me some money. No, you actually have to consult with the water district. They'll send someone to your home. You make an appointment. They send someone to your home. You show them the plan of what you're going to do. If they sign off on the plan, and then when you actually do it and you take some pictures, that's when you get the money. And I think it's up to like $3 a square foot, which could be, I think it's a minimum of 300 square feet, but could pay for all of your project if you do it yourself, or most of your project if you hire someone to do it. You cannot just take the grass out and put in concrete. You cannot just take the grass out and throw down a bunch of rocks. It actually has to be an area that is still, it's water friendly, but it's still, you know, doesn't turn into a concrete jungle, a heat shield, if you will. Let's see. I did a story earlier in the week about the worst drivers ever. There's a national list out. And actually, when I got doing research on it, there were actually four or five national lists out, and based on different categories of driving. Uninsured drivers was part of it. The most accidents per capita, the most deaths on the road per capita. Some of them had four or five categories. One of them had, I think, 31 different metrics. I think that was Wallet Hub, had 31 different metrics to determine the worst drivers in America. And guess what? Utah didn't finish first. Utah was not the worst. In fact, Utah wasn't even close. The worst, depending on which poll you looked at, Mississippi and California and Texas were three that finished number one in three of the different polls. Utah, the highest, or I guess the worst they did was seventh in one poll, but a couple of others, they were in the 20s and 30s. So the angle I took on the story was we all think that where we live, there are the worst drivers in the world. And I've lived in 10 different states during the course of my lifetime, and that feeling was prevalent in every place that I lived. Oh, we have the worst drivers here. And a lot of times those statements are made right after you came in from driving and somebody had cut you off or somebody had forgotten to turn their blinker on. Or one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone turns a blinker on for, say, right, and then they turn left or vice versa. I hate that. But, yeah, we don't have the worst drivers in the world here in the state of Utah. You may think we do. We don't, actually. Anyway, you can find that and all these stories at 890kdxu.com. Did want to talk for a few minutes. I found a fantastic story, and I do a lot of reading of different websites, conservative and otherwise, and I found a fantastic story on lewrockwell.com. And I will get to that right after we take this weather break on the Andy Griffin Show. Again, if you want to call, 673-5890. If you want to text, 435-467-5842. Welcome back, 935 on KDXU. It's Open Line Friday. Let's go to the lines. Mike, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
How you doing?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm a strong Trump supporter, 100%. I just want to share with you why he will never go to prison.
Okay.
Because the Secret Service would have to go in there with him.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah, exactly. They would have to be there because he's got 24/7 protection.
That's right. It's a former president. It's a lifetime deal. Yeah.
Hey. Enjoy your show, man. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Very fascinating to me, this whole DeSantis thing. Trump obviously is not happy with Ron DeSantis for declaring that he's going to run, and he's already thrown a couple of attacks his way. Listening to Clay and Buck and then Sean Hannity today, and I actually haven't listened to Mark Levin in the last couple of days, but they were quick to jump aboard the DeSantis train. I thought it felt like to me they were likely... Yeah, DeSantis might be the only way we beat Biden. And, you know, to me, it felt like they were jumping off the Trump train awful fast. And maybe they haven't really done that. I don't know. But I know other people who were staunch Trump supporters who are like, yeah, I think DeSantis, just because he's more, what's the word, restrained when it comes to the public. So what do you think about that, Mike?
Well, I'm kind of strange. That's kind of strange, too, because I listen to Clay and Buck every day myself, and they actually have a hotline for Trump to call in.
Yeah?
So I've heard a kind of a rumor, whether it's true or not, that Ron DeSantis was taking donations from some unsavory people. Now, I can't substantiate that. That's just what's going out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Would there ever be a scenario where you would maybe not vote for Trump and vote for DeSantis? Is there something that would change your mind at all?
No.
No? Okay. Good. No. I mean, the one thing I think we need to look at is how was your life better when Trump was president? And I think the resounding answer for 99% of us is yes, absolutely it was better when Trump was president.
100%. So.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Good talking to you. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Okay. I want to get to this story. If I have just a couple of minutes, indulge me. I'm a lifelong writer, which is ironic because in high school I hated writing because they would assign you a story. I remember once I had to do like a 3-page or 8-page, whatever it was, report on the play Julius Caesar from Shakespeare. Now, I neither cared about Julius Caesar nor enjoyed reading Julius. And you can, there are those of you out there that love Shakespeare and love Julius Caesar. And I've actually memorized some of Shakespeare's poems. But I had no interest in doing this. And I mailed it in, basically. I wrote a 3 pages of garbage and had very little actually insight whatsoever to do it to Julius Caesar, but I didn't want to do it. And I remember being called into my English teachers like after class, And she basically called me out. She said, this is garbage. You clearly didn't put any time. You clearly don't care about this. And she says, you'll never amount to anything. And certainly, you know, in life, when you have to write, you're in big trouble, young man. And I was like, okay, thank you. Mrs. Stewart was her name, by the way. She had a wart on her nose. So, well, it may not have been right on her nose, but she had a wart on her face. And anyway, that's not very nice for me to talk about now, and that was a long time ago. So she would be shocked to learn that I actually write a lot and actually have been paid a lot of money over the years to write for different organizations, the Spectrum, the St. George News, the Deseret News, the Salt Lake Tribune. I've been published in a bunch of sport and Sports Illustrated and what's that one out of L.A.? Anyway, a bunch of stuff. And I don't say this to brag. I just say this to say that I think that writing is a weird thing. If you really like what you're writing about, if you have the freedom to write about something that you're interested in and care about, I think almost any of us can become a pretty decent writer. All right, that was a long preview to what I'm talking about. A guy by the name of Dr. Emmanuel Garcia wrote for LouRockwell.com this piece called An Interview with Satan on the Eve of His Retirement. And I bring this to your attention because it is an incredibly well-crafted written piece. It's probably, I'm looking down, it's probably maybe 2,000 words, between 1,500 and 2,000 words. And I'm going to read to you a couple of excerpts from this. First of all, his intro. And the scenario is basically he has garnered an interview with Satan himself, and Satan is about to retire. The very next day, he's going to officially retire from the Satan business, I guess. So this is Dr. Garcia. He said, he didn't look at all as I had expected. I traversed the quiet room and found a portly older gentleman, immaculately and rather formally dressed, a finely spun woolen navy blue suit, slightly lighter blue tie, lighter shaded blue tie, starched collar and cuffs. He seemed quite comfortable and turned a kindly inviting smile towards me as I advanced. Okay, you wouldn't think of Satan that way, but to continue, you seem surprised, he said. You didn't expect horns and a tail, did you? He laughed. He grasped my hand warmly and offered me a seat opposite. It was dusk, and we looked out from our chairs on the balcony over a quiet harbor, the gentle clatter of voices from the nearby dining room, the hardly discernible knocks of snooker balls from another direction. These were the cushioning sounds over which our conversation took place. I hardly knew where or how to begin, I confess, but he helped me along. So, my friend, I suppose you wish to understand why I am withdrawing from the field, he said. His smile broadened and his eyes, far from piercing, met my... So he's making Satan out to be just your everyday guy. Met my own with wide inquiry. Yes, I said, kind of nervous and half gulping the word. My host motioned for drinks and the shadow of a waiter fluttered our way and he brought his drinks, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm going to skip down a little bit. Satan said, the reason I'm retiring is my work is done. You see, sloth is one of my vices, one of my pleasures, actually, I needed to do. And here he emphasized the word virtually nothing, an intimation here, a word in someone's ear that was enough. They, and again he had added stress, did everything I could have wished for and with far greater speed. Except for a little trouble I had with that fellow from Nazareth who, give him credit, very cleverly rebuffed my blandishments, it was also very easy. Where would you like me to start? With Eve? Poor woman, I would have offered Adam that first bite of apple, but I could never have relied on his persuading his consort, so I co-setted her, and the rest, as you are so fond of saying, is history. The killings, the conquest, the idolatries, the rivalries, the hypocrisies, the betrayals, and the endless line of fire-breathing prophets sent to make things right. I needed only to watch and to admire. Although I have no little appreciation of my own strategic wiles, I dare say I lack the imagination for deception that your species has shown, the infinite ways of lying. Really, I take my hat off to you and your kind for being so good at lying. So I asked him, but why? Why now? Why are you retiring? Have you achieved your goals? Have your goals been met? What are your goals? Are we so bereft of hope? The interviewer says, yeah, I was agitated. Calm down, Satan said. Let me tell you a parable. And this is a great story. Two men stood at the top of a high snowy mountain on a clear and sunny day. A small village lay below at its foot. The villagers had done nothing really to distinguish themselves except for a tendency towards moderation and occasional benevolence. The men, both of whom had mild personal grievances with the townspeople, argued over which may be the best way to destroy the settlement. One proposed setting an avalanche in motion, an avalanche that would engulf the town utterly and entirely. The other man listened intently, and they agreed to meet in the darkness before dawn to watch the spectacle. However, during the night, the second man visited the village elder, told him about the terrible plan and its perpetrator, adding, moreover, and not honestly, that the elder's wife was his lover and that her family and their allies intended to vacate the village secretly during the night and return after their enemies had been vanquished. The elder quietly gathered his forces, discovered and executed the man who had plotted his downfall, confronted his blameless wife, and had her put to the knife as well when she refused to confess. Whereupon a feud broke out, which in the end resulted in the death of every man, woman, and child in the village. I was silent as Satan after a small sip of his spirit resumed. The avalanche would have been more cataclysmically exciting, perhaps, but wasn't it far better to have the villagers destroy themselves? And ironically, to do so on the basis of deception? Just a word or two, he said. That was all. The rest was in their hands. I like a good game of snooker, said Satan as he prepared to leave the room. But before he set off toward the tables, he took my hand warmly and said this. Time was all I needed. A little time, and as for progress, which also requires time, what will you remember most about your cherished 20th century? Which genocide? And what will your corona wars have crowned? A most fitting end after so much misery achieved in the guise of goodness. Well, I've won my wager, and to quote from his very own book, which I know by heart, by the way, even he knows that there is a time to lose. Again, great article. I gave you just a few snippets of it, but go to lourockwell.com and look for an interview with Satan on the eve of his retirement. The whole point of the story, again, in case you're late tuning in, is Satan hasn't had to do that much here because he just kind of gave us some ideas. And unfortunately, us men, natural men, have gone and ran with it. And now look at the state the world is in. Again, if you want to call, 673-5890. If you want a text, I have a couple of texts here. The text line is 435-467-5842. 435-467-5842. Quick break. We'll be back. Welcome back, 949 on KDXU. I'm Andy, and we'll go right to the phone lines. Richard, what's going on, man? You doing all right?
Doing good. TGIF.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, we talked about the water that the government was going to fix in the Colorado River.
Uh-huh.
The other day the water guy was on.
Yeah.
Anyway, they said Lake Powell's going up about a foot a day, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, for sure.
But I started thinking about it. Okay, so they're going to take $1 billion worth of produce off our shelves by paying the farmers not to use the water.
Right. Which is ridiculous.
What's that do to our food? Does that make my cornflakes get expensive?
I think so, yeah. Probably double and triple in price over the next few years.
Not a big shortage. And so if we have to, we'll have to import it from somewhere else and rely on somebody else to feed us.
Yeah,
nobody really cares, it seems like, you know. Oh, it's $1 billion here and $1 billion there.
Yeah, it's brutal. And we definitely should big fans of the American farmer. We all should be fans, and yet we're not. I don't know why.
I don't know. Those guys barely break even. Now they have that one ad on Hannity, how they can't afford fertilizer, everything thanks to Biden, all his crap, you know, so.
I think fertilizer's triple the price, and seed is double the price, is what Hannity was saying.
Yep, and lucky if you can get your machine parts in if you need something fixed. So
yeah, good luck with that.
I don't know. We need to take our hat off to them guys, and here we are. I guess we're going to pay them to sit home. Then I watched another part back east that are paying them to take their property out of use so they can put solar panels on them.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess we don't need the food. Don't make sense. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I saw a post the other day. Someone said, what's the big deal with farmers? We get our food at the grocery store anyway. And I was like, oh, my gosh, did she really say that? But a couple of texts I wanted to get to. Someone texted early in the show, Mello should get a raise and her own intro song. So, Mello, we need to start thinking of an intro song for you. Put your brain to the test. Keep in mind, I will not play anything by Depeche Mode or Erasure ever on this show. So just those are off the table. Another text said, I like DeSantis. There is a lot of Trump in him, but he still has his sanity. Ooh, little dig there. And someone else said, Satan dresses like Biden or vice versa. Surprise, surprise. They call me Mellow Yellow. That might be a good one, huh? 9:52 on KDXU. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I wanted to talk another cool article online. This is called What to Do and Why It Matters by J.B. Shirk. He talks about, he says he gets a lot of, because he's a writer and he has a website, he gets a lot of emails, and he says there's usually fall into one of two categories. One of them is, yeah, the country is a mess, but what precisely are we going to do about it? The other one is, given how awful everything is, how could anything we do possibly matter? And he said it's kind of frustrating to him because the overall feeling he's getting, the feedback he's getting from people is, I'm helpless. I can't do anything about it anyway. And he said that is absolutely not true. And then he quotes this lady who had written in to him, who had decided she can do something about it. Listen to these words. This is cool. This is pretty cool. My heart goes out to the men and women who have been awake for years, if not decades. I can't imagine the frustration and hopelessness you must have felt when you were literally watching the world burn with no one to talk to. We're here now, and we are awake. Sorry that we're late to the party. I love that. That means, hey, we're going to do what we can. JB goes on to say, if those 50 words don't give you a bit of a jolt, check yourself for a pulse. The moment we stop believing that our actions can make a difference in this world is the moment we thank our enemies for having dug the 6-foot hole up ahead for us to fall into. When we refuse to surrender and force our enemies to keep digging, then the only question that matters is this: who will get tired first? So even when you feel alone, there are people watching and wondering whether you will hold the line. Some of those people are even carrying shovels. But over time, your resilience changes minds. And I read this and I say this to you out there. You matter. Your feelings of conservatism, of freedom, of the greatness of this country, it matters. And so we've got to toe the line. I told this story a few months ago. I guess it's been about a year now. Went on a cruise down out of Galveston, Texas, we went to Cozumel. It's the first cruise I'd ever been on. It was pretty cool. But the thing that I was amazed with is I got on the ship and there wasn't LGBTQ stuff everywhere. There wasn't wokeness. It was America. It was Americana. There were everyday people who had, a lot of them saved up their pennies and their dimes so they could go on a cruise. Some of them their first and maybe only cruise they'll ever go on. But these were not the loud minority. These were not the 1% of trans people in this country. They were not the 8% of gay and lesbian people in this country. These were everyday Americans who all they wanted was to be an American, be free, go on a cruise, have a good time, eat some good food, and not be bothered by the wiles, the politics of the world. I believe very strongly that that's how America still is. It's just that they're so much louder than us, the liberals and the people that are, for whatever reason, angry at the world. They're so much louder than us that we can't hear our everyday lives sometimes. We can't hear the good people who care about America, who care about families, who don't want a drag show in their town. I saw a post the other day. It said, for all you people who don't think there should be a drag show, the parks are for all people, not just for people that you like. And I was like, yeah, well, you know what? You've come into my town, my conservative town, with values and standards and morals, and you're in here trying to tell me how to live my life. How is that any better than me telling you you can't have a drag show? You're trying to tell me I have to have one. Wait a minute. That's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? Seems hypocritical. Seems hypocritical to me. One of the things, J.B. Sure, I guess there's a book out there. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard great things about it. It's called 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution, a book by Claire Wolfe, dedicated to you, the enemy of the state. And one of the statements made is, when good people stay good long enough and government turns bad, good people become the enemy of the state. That's why that statement is there. Here it is. When government turns bad, the best people ultimately become criminals. Initiative, dissent, individual pleasures, and exercise of one's basic rights become crimes. The ideal citizen of a tyrannical state is a man or woman who bows in silent obedience in exchange for the status of a well cared for herd animal. Meanwhile, thinking people become the tyrant's worst enemies. We've got to hold the line. This a traditional America, standards, values, families, they still matter in America. They still are prominent in America. It's just that, like I said, with the media the way it is, remember, was 87% of Republicans believe the media is an enemy to the state. I believe it too. I'm with the majority on that one. But if we toe the line and we understand that America is still America, we just don't scream as loud as some of those other people do, we're going to be okay. We're going to make it through this thing. This is the Andy Griffin Show. I'm here every day from 9 to 10 a.m. I'm just going to take a quick glance at the guest next week if I can get to the right page. There it is. We got some cool guests next week. Coming up next week, we have, Memorial Day is Monday, so no show on Monday. Melissa Couch will be here on Tuesday, an interview that Mello helped me set up. That's going to be, do you have a second to tell us a little bit more about Melissa?
Yeah, Melissa's pretty awesome. She is also a realtor. That's how I know her. Mm-hmm. And she's written this book, and it's supposed to help young women and help them become more empowered. And I'm just pretty excited to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, she'll be on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Washington County Commissioner Gil Almquist will join me. That'll be the last day of May, May 31st, with Gil Almquist. And then on June 1st, Mayor Thursday, will be Mayor Cress Staley from Washington City. We've moved Mayor Randall to a little bit later on in the month for some personal reasons. So she'll be on later in the month. And then a week and a half from now, Jack Lancaster will be back on. We'll also hear from Marianne Hamilton on fitness and Dr. Blodgett on health. And he always teaches us a lot. Again, thanks for listening today. It is 9:59 on KDXU. News is coming up with Fox News, the one media source I can actually kind of believe. I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll see you then.